Brady again in the shotgun. Three receivers right. He's back. He's looking. He is firing. And it is incomplete.
Oh, nearly picked off.
Almost picked off.
Ronald Darby nearly stepped in front of this thing.
Yep. Intended for Philip Dorsett. No relation to Tony. 9 seconds left.
So the Eagles have a wall of five defenders at about 10 yards deep or 20 yards deep. Then there's another wall about 40 yards deep.
What a game. We will never forget this. Hopefully with joy in our hearts. 9 seconds left. Eagles by 8. Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration.
All right, begin. It is a rematch week. Eagles, Patriots, Super Bowl rematch. Let's go. I'm your host, Fred Halbig. This is the Birds and the Berg football podcast. I forgot to mention that as well. And joining me, Jay, what's up, dude?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. I'm pumped. That just put a huge smile on my face listening to that. I forgot to mention the name of the show. I was reminiscing.
You were caught up. I get it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in my man cave. I got the Eagles Super Bowl stuff all around me. Brought a tear to my eye. I don't know if I might be crying different kind of tears come Sunday evening after that game, but hey, I'll always have that one game.
Yep.
But
who was the head coach that won that Super Bowl again for you guys?
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich. That's right.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. But anyway, yes, it is rematch week for the Eagles and the Patriots, and then also the Steelers play the Browns tonight, Thursday night football. Quick turnaround for those teams. So a couple of big games for both our squads this week. Right, Jay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought you were going to jump into something else. Yeah, this is this is a big matchup. You got the Browns who won last week, trying to turn their season around.
Yeah, hopefully to build a little momentum.
And then the Steelers who are on a 4-game winning streak, looking poised to try to make a run for the playoffs. So we'll see.
Definitely. Yeah, their schedule is set up pretty nicely for them to make a run here.
Yes.
And go for that wild card.
Yeah.
Unless then maybe if the Ravens slip up, possibly the division. Who would have friggin' thought?
Nobody but me.
I guess, huh? Wow. I really thought the Steelers were going to suck and my life was going to be good.
So did everybody. Everybody and, wrote them off.
Yeah.
I get it.
They're pushing all because of Minka Fitzpatrick.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's throwing and catching the ball, touchdowns, everything.
Absolutely. All right, but before we get into the game previews, we're going to go over some news and notes from the NFL. The biggest news that happened came out a couple days ago or yesterday. Colin Kaepernick, the NFL, setting up a workout for him, and there's reports that multiple teams are going to show up. Jay, what do you think about that?
I'm just tired of this already. Like,
yeah.
If they want to work him out, fine. Do it. Let some teams look at it. Don't know what you're going to do with a 32-year-old quarterback who hasn't played in 5 years.
Yeah.
He didn't have the best of arm when he played. So I get what everybody wants to see him. Fine. Just do it. But after this, nobody signs you. Just walk away.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. I'm fine with the NFL doing something and getting him out there and giving him an opportunity after all these years. What bothers me about the whole situation is like how now I hear people coming out saying like, oh, this is just a big
PR stunt
for the NFL. This and that. Like, what, like, you can't make anybody happy. Like, do, no. do you want the NFL to do nothing, or do you want the NFL to do something? Like, you can't have it. You know what I mean? Like, there's been all this shit talking on the NFL that they're blackballing him, this and that. And then when they actually do something to try to help the man out, now people are saying it's a huge PR stunt.
Yeah, like, and if you look at the reports coming out about this, the NFL set this up.
Yeah, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. If, I mean, he did sue him, so they kind of try to do something.
Yeah.
But let him get some looks. Fine, there are some teams that I could see signing him. Right now, the Vegas odds are on the Steelers. That's not happening. I don't see why they would.
What, you don't think he'd get them further than Mason? Jesus
Christ. No. No. Absolutely not.
No. I will say I'm going to give a friend of mine, an avid listener, friend of the pod, my buddy Ian. He talked about it yesterday. He said that he thinks this could be part of their agreement that they had, because they came to a settlement when Kaepernick sued the NFL, and he thinks maybe this was part of that settlement. I thought that was a pretty, good idea. I think that could be true, that maybe part of that settlement was the NFL had to set up a, workout for him, because this never happens.
No.
The NFL does not conduct private workouts or workouts for these guys. So. No,
not at all. It's usually them setting it up on their own.
Yeah, yeah. Their agents have to get with teams and set them up. So, it's kind of a unique thing going on. I do believe it's a good thing. Hopefully this just either gets him signed or it puts everything to rest.
Yeah, after Saturday, just be done with it. He's on a team or he's just gone.
Yeah. I just hope it happens as well, because I saw Schefter this morning say that he doesn't believe it's the workout's actually going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I can only imagine the can of worms that opens up.
Yeah. I wonder what he's hearing. Is Cap backing out, or maybe team's just not interested?
I don't know. I didn't see the whole segment. I just saw a clip of it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Said. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've seen plenty of reports that a bunch of teams are going to go. So
I'm sure it'll be broadcast on ESPN. There'll be a special about it.
He'll be interviewed. Him and Jacina Anderson will be.
God.
All right. Well, enough of that. We'll see how that all plays out this weekend. Maybe we'll have an update next week on it. The other big news, I guess it's not huge NFL news, it's more Philadelphia Eagles news, was that Brandon Brooks, their all-pro right guard, he got a contract extension, and he's now the highest paid guard per year average in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, he's been your best offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's been the most consistent. He's been just dominant. First, the deal was a four-year extension worth $56.2 million. So that puts him a little over $14 million a year. I'd like to see what his cap hits are, but knowing Howie, they're probably pretty favorable. He does a pretty good job with that. But what gets me about he's just a humble, hardworking dude. He tore his Achilles in the playoff game last year, but was back in time for the beginning of this season, and he's been absolutely dominant.
Jeez, that's a quick turnaround on Achilles. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't missed a snap. He looks better than he ever has. So this is big for the O-line. The Eagles now have like their entire offensive line, minus Jason Peters, but they got Dillard in there at least until like 2022.
Okay.
So they're all locked up. I want to give one little stat here on Brandon Brooks, and it's per Pro Football Focus. I don't know how accurate it is, but they say that he has not given up a sack since he has signed with the Eagles like 4 years ago.
I was just about to say that because I read the same thing, and I think it was 4 quarterback pressures on the year that he's allowed. That's amazing.
It's dominant.
I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah, and he doesn't get the recognition, I think, that he deserves. I do believe he's the best guard in the NFL. So good for him.
They paid him like it. So
yeah, absolutely. I think it's well, like I said, well deserved. I'm glad he's an Eagle and he's going to be an Eagle, hopefully for the rest of his career. But big move by them.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into our games. We'll start with the Steelers and the Browns, since that is tonight, technically, Thursday night.
Yes, it is.
And we will, yeah, preview them. We'll let Jay get into that.
Yeah, so Thursday night game, big game for both teams. You got the 5-4 Pittsburgh Steelers coming off of a 4-game win streak so far, going into Cleveland, who are 3-6 right now.
One less environment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's in either way.
Cleveland, you know, fans can bring it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Steelers travel well, so we'll see how it goes. But 8:20 tonight, Thursday night. Right now, the Browns are 3-point favorites.
Really?
Yeah. I'm surprised by that too.
Yeah.
It's weird, but hey, you know what? One of my first notes on here: if this was September, the Cleveland Browns are the Super Bowl champs. So.
True.
Everybody had them winning everything in this. So
it's just crazy because the talent's there.
It is.
Like offensively, at least. I know you'll get into their offense, but
yeah, we'll
just
jump into all that.
Crazy how bad they've been.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, they were better last year.
They were. They absolutely were. Quick injury notes, real quick, before jumping into the game. Connor was back full practice. He will play tonight. Snell, Nix and Switzer all out. Snell still has a knee injury. Roosevelt Nix, he hurt his knee again. He came back for one game. Switzer doesn't even matter. You could just sit him down the rest of the year. Joe Hayden is questionable with illness. That's a big loss. If he does not play tonight, that means you have the number one pick, Artie Burns, in there starting, which is just terrifying.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that he's going to miss the game because of an illness.
I think
Hayden
plays
tonight.
Yeah.
They're going to pump him full of fluids, and he should be ready to go by tonight.
Yeah. And then one of the only injury I have for the Browns, because this is kind of a big one for them, is Olivier Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
Big loss for that defense. He's not going to play tonight. I'm not sure what the injury is, but him and Myles Garrett, just been Batman and Robin together.
No, more like Batman and Superman. They're both pretty good. Miles Garrett.
Vernon's numbers haven't been like I think he has like maybe 2 sacks on the year.
Yeah.
But he offers so much in run defense and just cleaning up after Garrett.
Yeah.
Like he's
that's
just
a pretty big loss.
It's a huge loss for them. So, That'll really weaken their defense, who hasn't been playing great anyway. So let's just jump right into the game. So like I said, at the beginning of the year, the Browns were favored to win the division, possibly rep the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Undefeated, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing for this game is going to be the Steelers defense versus the Browns offense. And this is the big matchup to me. Steelers defense right now, they're second in the league in total takeaways. They're just on fire.
Yeah,
getting
they're
pressure
top
everywhere.
5 defense.
Yeah,
overall, period. They get pressure. They turn the ball over.
Yeah, they're just doing everything.
Yeah.
Right now, so good. Browns offense,
so good, baby,
so good. like you said, the Browns offense has really been struggling. They put it together a little bit last week with that win.
Still didn't look great, though.
No. And it all
against a bad Bills team.
It's kind of crazy because if you look at the numbers outside of Baker, this team should be better. Like, I don't get – they have the third leading rusher.
Quick question.
Okay.
Would this team be better off without Baker, a different quarterback? Somebody who was just serviceable, because Baker has been downright bad.
He has been awful, but from what I have seen and read on it, it really starts with this offensive line. And Baker's just getting tortured back there, and he's trying to make plays. And the line was better last year. Like
it was,
like you said,
for all the moves they made.
Yeah,
they did not do anything to help that offensive line, and it's shown.
Yeah, and then you bring in – look, I'm not saying – and, like, he's the problem here, but you bring in somebody like OBJ who demands – like, not even saying he wants the ball, but his presence there demands that you get him the ball.
So oh, absolutely.
Is some of this – yeah, is some of this Baker trying to force him the ball? Is it – I don't know. But the offensive line has been a big issue for them.
Yeah.
So
– and that's the strength of the Steelers.
Yeah, that Steelers offensive line. Oh, the defensive line is – yeah, their front seven, I think, is they're going to have a big game in this. And I think they're going to force Baker to a couple more turnovers. Right now, Baker, he's just not looking good. He only has 2,201 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Ugh.
That's awful.
Sophomore slump.
Just looking what he did last year compared to this year.
Yeah, he broke the record for touchdown passes by a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of that has to be the coaching.
Look,
Freddie Kitchens is just not
good. He's not a good coach.
No. He's not putting Baker in positions. I know Baker has made stupid throws and he has that gunslinger mentality, but to only have 9 touchdown passes when you have guys like Jarvis Landry and OBJ.
Yeah.
They're not doing something right.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about Nick Chubb.
No, we're going to get into him because. But as far as his receivers go, Landry, 45 catches, 652 yards. OBJ, 44 catches, 632 yards. Not bad years.
No.
Like, they're going to both hit 1,000 yards, it seems like. But for this offense, though. Yeah, they should be close to 1,000 by this point. And then Landry has, I think it was 3 touchdowns on the year. OBJ got his first touchdown, I think, last week.
Yeah. So that's where the issue is.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just not using them in the red zone. But then, like you said, the man who's really carrying this offense is Nick Chubb. And so far in the year, he has 174 carries.
Yeah, he's really good.
For 919 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's 3rd in yards in the league. And, yeah, he's just exploding. And then you also have Kareem Hunt, who came back last week.
Yeah, and they actually utilized him pretty well, I thought, in that offense. They got him involved in the passing game.
That was where he did most of his damage. He had 4 carries for 30 yards. He had 7 catches for 44. Not big numbers, but it's showing that they're going to use him, and they have a plan to use him.
Yeah.
I didn't like this signing at the beginning of the year because I really like Nick Chubb, and I thought this would take away from him. And his numbers are going to slow down now because you have Kareem Hunt there.
But yeah,
I think in that last game, last week, in his first game, Kareem Hunt was out there playing lead blocker for Chubb. He's flexed out while Chubb was still in the backfield. So they may not go away from Chubb.
I think that's how they're going to utilize him. I can see him. He's going to be their 5-6 carry guy. They're going to use him in the passing game. And Chubb's still going to get the bulk of the carries. I would think so, hopefully.
Yeah.
If they were smart, but.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you, man. So, to me, their offense is going to run through Chubb. I don't think you want to expose Baker to trying to throw down the field too much, especially with the way the Steelers are turning over the ball with their pass rush, with Minka back air, just playing ball hawk so far this year. So I think Nick Chubb's going to get majority of the carries in this game. Kareem Hunt's going to get some catches out of the backfield too. Like you said, that I think it's going to be a short game for them. Power run, short passes. So
have to, because Baker's not going to have any time to do anything.
With that pass rush, man, he's just not going to be able to do anything. So, I think that in that matchup, it definitely favors the Steelers' defense. Their defense is just better than the Browns' offense.
So yeah.
We'll see. And then we'll flip to the other side of the ball, Browns' defense versus the Steelers' offense. Last week, Mason looked a lot better. The number on paper, it didn't look great.
Yeah, he was efficient. He played a good game.
He had 6 drops by his receivers, a big turnover by James Washington. He looked better. You get James Conner back this week, who is your thumper. Jalen Samuels hasn't really been able to get anything going on the ground because he's just not that through the line runner.
No.
He's more of a speed guy, get to the outside. James Conner adds that ground and pound element to it. I really think Juju should have a pretty big game this week. But the one thing, okay, so let's talk about the Browns defense.
Okay.
All starts with Myles Garrett. 10 sacks on the year.
He's an animal.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's so good. And then on the outside, too, well, the man in the middle, Joe Schubert, he's just been a consistent player for them, their middle linebacker.
Yeah.
He controls that middle. He's such a great field general for them. And
so good.
Yeah, he's so good. And then on the outside, you have Denzel Ward, and then you have Greedy Williams.
Yeah.
They don't have big numbers this year. Neither one of them even has an interception so far.
They were hurt for a while. They reached out like 3-4 games. Yeah. So.
I don't trust you on injuries right now.
But yeah, for real, after last week, I could have sworn Clay Matthews was on the IR.
He's on IR, and he's out monster there game.
Yeah, running around sacking people. I'm like, shit, I guess he's not.
Yeah, so those two, they're really good corners. Denzel Ward is one of the best corners in the league.
Yeah,
Green
last
Williams
year,
was a first-round pick for them.
I was going to say, last year Ward was a Pro Bowler, and I don't think they took Greedy until the second or third round.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, okay. He was a projected first-round pick, but they got him late.
Okay.
He fell because I think of character concerns or something.
Okay. Yeah, Denzel Ward has been a little bit of pain in the Steelers' side since he's been there. He's picked off Ben a couple times when they played. Mason's careful with the ball, 4 interceptions on the year. So I don't see him turning over the ball too much. It's his skill players who just can't hold on to the ball. Connor has that issue. Juju has had that issue. And James Washington fumbled last week, too. So that's one of the bigger things. I think the Steelers' offensive line is playing a lot better, especially on his 4-game streak. They have played some decent teams like the Colts and the Rams, especially the Rams with that pass rush they have.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the Steelers' offensive line will hold up well in this. It's just going to be, can Mason score enough points to keep them in it? Because I think the Browns are going to come together a little bit and put up a couple points in this game.
Really?
I don't. I think this is one of those games.
Unless they get a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown, I don't think the Browns will score more than 13 points against the Steelers defense.
I think this is one of those games that they're going to get up for and they realize their season is on the line. Because the AFC is bad.
They technically have a chance.
Yeah, it's still wide open. And honestly, they're playing for pride, too. 3 wins on a year. And when you were projected to be one of the top teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pride game, Thursday night home primetime game. So I see them coming out and scoring a couple points. It could be, like you said, special teams or defensive touchdowns. But I still think their offense is going to move the ball a little bit. So I think Mason has to get the ball. If it's going to be the short game, be the short game. But your guys have to catch the ball, and you have to attack downfield a little bit too to open it up. The run game has to get going. I think James Conner, right now the Browns defense is averaging like 140 yards a game on the ground.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. So they're bad.
Yeah. So I think James Conner can get a little bit going. Maybe his second 100-yard game. That'd be nice to see.
Okay.
It's just nice to see him back on the field.
For at least a game before he's hurt again.
Yeah. So I still think the Steelers are a better team. Even if the Browns offense can get going, I said I think they score a couple points. That doesn't mean they're going to put up 28. I see the Steelers winning this, I'll say 24-14.
You said the Browns are going to put up some points, and then you project them to have
14 points.
Nothing,
that's what
bro.
I'm saying. I think they can. All right,
like 24, you could say like 24-20.
No, motherfucker, I said 24-14.
Dude,
that's what I said. Look, let me correct myself. I think they can put up points in this game. Steelers defense has been outstanding. And can I say one thing to Steelers Nation real quick?
Sure.
Don't ship off Minka after this game if he doesn't have a touchdown. All right. He's not going to get an interception every game. He's not going to return an interception for a touchdown every game.
Yes, he will.
he's a great player. He has made that defense better. The threat of him being there.
I would not be surprised if he picked off Baker tonight at all.
Oh, I could see him getting an interception, but look, there's going to be games where he's not going to get interceptions.
Yeah.
Where you're not going to hear his name at all. And okay. The fans are tend to be quick to ship people off if they're not making plays. So
yeah. All right. So you got the Steelers 24-14?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to take the Steelers 20-13 over Cleveland. I don't think the Browns offense is good, and I think the Steelers defense is really good. So I see them pulling off another win on their way to a wild card berth.
I still think division, but it's cool. You can say wild card.
I know. I mean, it's close. The Ravens are going to be tough to catch. They're pretty good.
It's fine. Lamar's going to come crashing down hard.
We'll see. We've been saying that all year.
Hey.
It hasn't happened yet. So, all right. So we'll transition though. We'll move into the Eagles.
Yeah.
Patriots game this coming Sunday. It's 4:25 kickoff. I believe the Patriots right now, or the Eagles, I'll say, are 3.5-point home dogs.
Ooh.
They are underdogs to the Patriots. Nothing new. Break out those underdog masks, baby. But yeah, it's a rematch of the Super Bowl, like I said at the beginning of the show, and the Eagles are going to have their hands full. Right now, the Patriots' offense is ranked second in the NFL, scoring 30 points a game, and their defense is ranked first, only giving up 11 points per game. Yeah. It does not look good for the Eagles this week. Their offense is second with 30 points a game, but they're 15th in yards, 366 yards. So they're not, you know, they're not really great at running the ball. They're 23rd in the league in running the ball per game, 7th in passing. Tom Brady's having a little bit of a down year, I guess you could say. But still, they're still putting up 30 points a game. I wonder how much of that. I know the defense has outscored.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest thing is their defense has just been killer this year. They're putting up, I think they're getting a touchdown a game.
Yeah.
Which is what it seems like. Yeah, and you're right. Brady is having a down year. I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah,
he's not been killer.
I think it's more because of his lack of weapons. He basically has Julian Edelman.
I don't want to hear that. He could turn anybody into a goddamn
weapon.
I know.
I'm just saying, though. It's not – he doesn't have his usual – obviously, he's missing Gronk this year, which is huge. So – but, yeah, let's get back into it. Brady, he's at 2,500 passing yards, 14 touchdowns, 5 picks. His leading receiver is Edelman with 663 yards, 4 touchdowns. And then his second leading receiver, which is a big concern of mine going into this game, is James White. He has 44 catches for 404 yards. That's a big matchup I'm looking for this game. Is how the Eagles' defense and linebackers are how they're going to cover James White. Running backs can give the Eagles' defense some trouble. I know he lines up all over the formation. So this could be a big game for Kamu Grugier-Hill. I could see them putting him on James White and trying to follow him around and cover him. But, you know, he's beaten linebackers before, so you never know. That's a pretty tough matchup for this defense, I believe. Same with Edelman. They move him all around. He's basically a running back that can catch the way they use him. So those two are my biggest matchup worries for this Eagles defense. Like I said, they don't really run the ball that much. Sony Michel's their leading rusher with 480 yards. All right. See, the good thing about the Birds and the Berg football podcast is we're just a couple of regular dudes. Regular dudes, and we got regular problems. We had to take a little break there. Jay had a little bit of an emergency where his son was sick at school. So we had to take care of that.
Yeah.
But we're back. We're back. So I think I left off talking about Sony Michel for the Patriots offense. He is their leading rusher, but he's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. So, you know, the Eagles have a really good run defense. I'm not too worried about him for the offense overall. I do believe that the Eagles defense can have a good game against the Patriots. I don't think they're going to let them score 30. I don't think it's going to be the defense you saw against the Vikings or the Cowboys. I do think it'll be more in line with what you've seen over the past couple of weeks. The key to that, the key to the Eagles' defense against Brady is getting pressure. Fletcher Cox has been more dominant the last few weeks. He seems like he's finally getting healthy after off-season surgery. So if he can get pressure up the middle on Brady, then that's going to be huge. Then they'll have a chance to win this game. But if this defensive line cannot get any pressure on Brady, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and that's the key to beating Brady, too, overall.
Period,
is you
yeah.
get pressure on.
Yeah, and especially pressure up the middle to where mm-hmm. he can't step up in a pocket. So Fletcher Cox, Tim Jernigan's back again after returning from injury before the bye. So those are two main keys to winning this game
mm-hmm.
is those D tackles right there. They need to get pressure up the middle on Brady, force him into – you've seen it before. If he's, he'll throw something up every once in a while if he has pressure in his face. So that's keys to the game. I'm going to go over the Patriots defense a little bit here. Like I said, they're only giving up about 10 points, 11 points a game. They only give up 250 yards total a game.
Wow.
150 passing yards, which is good for second in the NFL, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're a little susceptible to the run. They're 11th. They give up close to 100 yards a game. That's where I see the Eagles offense having their best shot. They need Jordan Howard to have a big game. I believe the Eagles' best weapon on offense, maybe not weapon, but just the offensive line. I think that offensive line is one of the best in the league. They're dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can run the ball successfully, that'll open a few things up for Wentz, where he can be the guy you saw, I guess, against the Bills and teams like that, where he was more of a game manager. I think that's their best shot at pulling off an upset here. But, yeah, the Patriots defense, man, they got Stephon Gilmore. I'd like to see what he's going to do this game. I think they might try to line him up on Ertz. Jamie Collins has 6 sacks this year. Devin McCourty's got 5 interceptions.
Jesus.
Gilmore with 3 interceptions, you know. So they're stacked.
Yeah.
They're stacked on defense. I will say I think part of it is because the quarterbacks they have played, they've had a pretty weak schedule up until this point, and then they played Baltimore last week, and you saw when they finally played better competition, you know, what happened. Baltimore, obviously, their offense is different because of Lamar, the way he runs the ball and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say they can't get interceptions because he doesn't throw it.
Yeah, but still, you know, that you saw once they finally played a little bit better competition, someone other than Luke Falk or Josh Allen or Fitzpatrick for the Dolphins. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm still worried about that defense. The Eagles have really nobody at receiver that's going to scare them. If Gilmore can literally lock up any one of them if he wants to. But I do believe they'll probably try to put him on Ertz a good bit. So once again, I feel like I've been saying this a lot. This could be a big game for Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
Try to take away Ertz. The receivers haven't done much. Mix in a lot of Dallas Goedert. Give me a lot of Miles Sanders out of the backfield. And Jordan Howard pounding the ball. You got to play ball control. Can't let the Patriots have the ball too much. You know, if they do, then, you know, Brady's going to pick you apart. So overall, this is a tough game. A part of me feels like the Eagles can win this game.
Yeah.
It seems like they could shock the world, get an upset, because I do think the Patriots are beatable. We saw that last week. But when it comes down to it, I just can't pick them to win this game. I know the beginning of the year I had them winning 41-33. Super Bowl. They're both coming off a bye week. I know Doug's been good with the extra week. Belichick's probably better.
Yeah, I mean,
it's yeah, you give him 2 weeks to prep for an offense, although he had 2 weeks during Super Bowl week. But I'm going to have to go Patriots 24, Eagles 21.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they fall back to 500. 5-5, heading into a huge matchup with Seattle in Philly again the following week, which that game did get flexed. It was supposed to be a Sunday night game. It got pushed back down to a 1 p.m. game now. So I think that helps the Eagles out in that game. Coming into these after the bye against the Patriots and Seahawks, I said the Eagles just need to win one of those games and they'll be on track to win the division if they can beat the Cowboys week 16. I just don't see them. I just don't see them beating the Patriots this week. I know it's in home. I know the crowd's going to be crazy. Like a part of me, like I think they can. Like I wouldn't be shocked if they somehow pulled this game off.
Yeah.
Because I do think they're going to play well. I just don't think it's going to be enough. That's a tough matchup.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to flip your thought, and I think the Eagles pulled us out 24-21.
There you go.
Last second field goal. I think, look, Wentz is a good quarterback, and he's just had no help this year. Yeah. And I know he's not a big name, but I think bringing in Jordan Matthews is going to help.
I do believe it's going to help this passing game.
He's familiar.
I wouldn't be surprised if he caught a touchdown this week.
Yeah, and I think he's really going to help get Wentz going a little bit more. And then you still have Goddard and Ertz.
Yeah.
I don't rely on Jeffries or Aguilar at all. You can't look at them as somebody that's going to help you.
I guess I didn't bring it up either. Alshon was on the injury report yesterday. He did not practice because of an ankle. I know he tweaked his ankle a little bit at the end of that Chicago game, but he said he was fine, but he did not practice this week. So we got to see how that shakes out the rest of this week. Other injuries, I wanted to bring up that Jason Peters might be back. He was a limited participant in practice this week. So we'll see how that goes. I know Andre Dillard has been holding it down in his spot. He's been playing well.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to ask you about is how he was looking.
Real good.
That was his first start in Chicago, and he had lined up against Mac.
No, he started the week before. Yeah.
Oh, did
he?
Okay.
Going against Mac, he was a different animal, and he held his own.
Good.
He wasn't lined up over him 100% of the time, but he was over him. Mac was over him a few times, and I don't think he had a sack that game. So the rookie's been looking real good. He looks like he could be, a franchise left tackle. So, but we'll see. I mean, if Peters does come back, he's probably going to end up leaving the game anyway. They'll need Dillard in there. But yeah, that's all I got on this game. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. Hopefully, yeah. If it's another Vikings or Cowboys game, I don't know. I'm going to cry myself to sleep. Rough one. So, yeah, a couple huge games this week. Browns, Steelers, Eagles, Patriots. Should be a good weekend of football. I don't know who the Cowboys play, but hopefully they lose. I think they play the Lions, actually, and Stafford's not playing. So they'll probably win that one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he's out.
Oof. That's all I got on that. Jay, you go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah, I was trying to see. Oh, the Ravens played the Texans.
That's a really good game. That's a huge game.
It's in Baltimore, though. Yeah, that doesn't help at all. So check us out on Twitter at birds_berg, Facebook page, the Birds in the Berg podcast. Please like, subscribe, and review on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Please leave us questions, comments, concerns, anything on those pages. We'll talk back. And
Thank you for listening. That was the Birds in the Berg football podcast. Everybody enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.